You're listening to SBS News.
A lot of people already identify or know the problems from smoking and what it can do for your health. But not a lot of people understand that loneliness or social isolation carries around the same health risks of smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Tyler Procknow is an assistant professor at Texas A&M at their School of Public Health and an expert in social connectedness, physical activity and mental health. He's been talking to the Associated Press.
Well, there's a lot of adults that feel socially isolated or lonely. I think one of the reasons why it might not be a readily available or identifiable public health issue on par with some others is there's still some stigma around loneliness and talking about being lonely or socially isolated. And the other thing is, a lot of times the symptoms may manifest or be different from person to person. So what might cause loneliness in you may not cause loneliness in me, and how I feel loneliness may not be the same as how you feel it. So that adds to the complexity of the issue.
Is there a difference between social isolation and loneliness?
I think the difference between social isolation and loneliness is small, but it's a meaningful difference. When we look at social isolation, we're talking about the absence of social participation, social interactions, social connections. And that can be across a number of different ways to look at that, whether that's support, whether that's feeling at home or a sense of community. But then when we look at loneliness, that is the feelings that you might have saying that the level of social connectedness that you have is not necessarily meeting your needs in that moment. So it's a notices something that's a little bit different, and you might need to take a little bit of a look at what's going on here, what can we do to fix that.
That comparison between smoking and loneliness in terms of health consequences is unexpected.
I think one of the key things that we are looking at with this comparison between smoking and loneliness and social isolation is just the overall comprehensive nature that we've approached smoking cessation and tobacco control. If you think of national all the way down to local, different organizations and groups fostering programs, but then also when we look at national ad campaigns like the Truth Campaign or Tips for Smokers from the CDC, and then we also look at how we've changed smoking policies to have smoke-free areas in buildings, bars, restaurants, everything like that. That comprehensive nature and how we have attacked it at multiple different fronts, we're really looking to do the same thing for loneliness because we see this as another complex issue that deserves a complex solution. One thing that we're really looking at is how we have created spaces and fostered places for social connections. So how architects and city planners have built communities and buildings, can we create them to foster social interactions, to foster a sense of cohesion and community? And very similar to how we've changed our smoking policies inside of buildings. But then we can also look at how we have worked on different ad campaigns. So with some of the public ad campaigns for smoking, you'll start seeing some public ad campaigns about loneliness and reversing that stigma and almost changing from how we had a social norm of smoking was okay to now it's more of a detrimental habit and behavior. Just like how we are going to try to see how we can encourage social connectedness as the norm.
Are there solutions other than simply telling someone to pull themselves together?
So one thing that really inspired this research is we want to better tell people the risks of isolation and loneliness and really draw that awareness, but then also to turn that awareness into action. So if you are looking for tips, there's lots of tips to do things for social interactions on some of the CDC websites. So if you will Google social isolation or loneliness and the CDC, they have a lot of different resources on there. There's also a fantastic organization called the Foundation for Social Connection. They're working to do a lot of different things in the space of social connection, whether that's research, but also community programming and fostering just a sense of awareness and action with social connection.
Social media, is that a factor?
So when we're talking about warning labels or age restrictions, a lot of times we're speaking specifically for social media use. And we've seen that the most detrimental impacts of some social media use is on our younger populations oftentimes. So that our adolescents and teenagers. And there's some different countries, like Australia being one, that has actually gone through with policies that is age limiting. So some of the social media platforms have to verify users' ages, things like that. So when we are looking at those different policies, we are really trying to see, can we protect some of our more vulnerable populations? But then also, can we make sure that the avenues that people are seeing as places to connect, and that's what social media was originally for, social networking, we have the most connection at our fingertips, but can we actually turn that into meaningful feelings of social connectedness and not just mindful scroll or mindlessly scrolling, leading to more isolation, social isolation?
So what can we as individuals do?
The first most important thing that we can do when we are fighting loneliness or social isolation is to fight it with action. A lot of times when you are feeling lonely, you may not feel like reaching out to others, but I'd like to challenge you to do just that. So reach out to a friend or family member that you may not have talked to in a while and just take a genuine interest in how they're doing, check up on them, maybe schedule something like a coffee or a drink or whatever might be normal for you. But really reaching out and fighting that feeling with action can have substantial impacts on your health, but also theirs.